All right, we're starting at the bottom of Peichet Amud Bet, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up. Amar Rabbi Levi, Bo Reish Lo Kmidat Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar V'Dam. The way Hashem's behaviors are not that of like humans. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Berach Yisrael B'Shirim V'Shtaim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu blessed, okay, Brachot to Yisrael for 22. V'Kilalan B'Shmona, and He cursed them with 8. Birkan Vesri Mishtayim, where do you give them 22 brachot? It says, Me'im Bichukotai Ad Komimiyut. So now that's the beginning of Parshat Bichukotai. And it's suggesting over here, there aren't eight brachot there, or 22 brachot there, I'm sorry. But the Pasuk starts, Me'im, Im Bichukotai, Im is an Aleph. And then the end of the series of brachot ends, Komimiyut, which is a tough. So he's suggesting that that's the 22 letters of the Aleph Bet, because it goes from Aleph till Taf. He gave them brachot. V'kilulan b'shmona, and he gave them 8 curses. Maybe im b'chukotai tim asu. So there, instead of starting im b'chukotai tim asu, but rather v from the vav, im b'chukotai tim asu, ad v'et chukotai galon nafsham, till mem. So if you take from vav until mem, that's 8 letters. So Vav to Mem is 8 letters. So again, the 22 letters are for the brachot, 8 letters for the, are the, from the big first letter to the last letter of that series is 8. So 22 brachot and 8 klalot. Or 8, with the 8 letters of the alphabet. Vilo Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, when it comes to Moshe, Birkan Bishmona, V'kalan Be'esrim Bushtaim, Birkan Bishmona, Mevahayayim Shamoa, right, so if it starts from V'hayayim Shemo, again starts with the Vav, Tishma Ad Lo'ovdam, till Mem. So same Vav and Mem. So here it's 8. The 8 letters are used in the Brachot. V'kilalan B'Esrim Mishtayim, and the 22 letters are used by the Kala, or the Tochacha of Moshe in Sefer Devarim, because there it starts V'hayayim Shemo, here's a Vav. V'im Lo Tishma Ad V'im Poneh, till Hey. So Vav until Hey, meaning that Vav, and you go all the way back to Hey, you get all 22 letters of the Aleph Bet. So again, the Moshe had eight letters used in the Brachot, 22 in the Klalot, versus a Kodesh Baruch Hu uses 22 letters in the Brachot and 8 in the Klalot. What's interesting over here is what Tosfos comments, it's the same, it's similar to the way Tosfos in the Gemara and Megillah, which is that the Gemara says that we should lain Bechukotai, Parshat Bechukotai before Atzeret, and that we should lain the Parshat Kitavo before Rosh Hashanah. Because we should Techel Shnata, right, or is it Ubirkotah, and then we should finish off all the Klalot in the previous year. So the question is that our Minog is not like that. Our Minog is to read Nitzavim, or Nitzavim Vayelech, before Rosh Hashanah. So the question is why? So the Rav Nissim Gaon says the reason is because why do we split up Vayelech from Atem Nitzavim when there's two Shabbases between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot without a Yom Tov, meaning in order to have Vayelech and Hazinu during that period of time, and then we read Nitzavim beforehand. I mean, you could have put Nitzavim and Vayelech together and then split up another Parsha, which is interesting, which is this, it would be the best suggestion, which he says, Ben Rosh Hashanah Yitzugol B'Yom Tov Av Kishi Parsha Ktana. I mean, Nitzavim Vayelech is a very small parsha. You may as well keep them together. And instead, what? Umechabrim Matot Maseh. And we put Matot Maseh together. So here we put Matot Maseh together, split Nitzavim Vayelech. Why would you ever do that? Split Matot Maseh, keep Nitzavim Vayelech. So it must be that we're trying to get Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. So why is that? So he says, because Mitim Shitam Ushana V'Kililotah. Right, that the year should end with its curses. Sheesh Klalot V'Atem Nitzavim. That Atem Nitzavim also has a klalot. And if anyone wants him to consu atochot shel shana shavra b'shana ba, we want to techel shana ta shana ubirkotah. So we want to end up all the klalot. Since Nitzavim still has klalot in it, that's why we landed before Rosh Hashanah. Right, so the klalot. So Tosfos says, first of all, I don't think you're right. On one ground is that here the Gemara clearly says that the klalot are what are contained in Parshat Ki Tavo, because it says the extent of the klalot are from Vayayim Shemoata in Koneh. That's all contained within Parshat Ki Tavo and not in Parshat Nitzavim. So how can you say the klalot are in Nitzavim if the Gemara here clearly says the klalot are in Ki Tavo? The second problem is that how does that help you with regards to atzeret? So the Ri over here suggests what he does in the Gemara Megillah also, where the Gemara says that we do such a thing. Ri says, "Ahachi anu korim neulam atem nitzavim efrash shana kedei lafsik beparsha beklalot shana shavra." We have a buffer. We put a buffer in. I mean, that kitavo is the klalot. Then we put in tzavim as a buffer before we start the new year. And that's why we always read b'midbar before Shavuot. Over there in Eretz Yisrael, it happens more often that we read also Naso because of the, depending on Yom Tov Sheni, Shalgoliot by Pesach. So we end up reading sometimes Naso before, but we never really don't read b'chukotai before, Shavuot. And the reason is because of the same thing, that we want a buffer between the klalot of bichukotai and the tzeret, which is Rosh Hashanah leperot. So the Tosa suggests that our minog is based on this idea that we put in a buffer parsha between the klalot and the beginning or the Rosh Hashanah, whether it's a tzeret or it's Rosh Hashanah, that we put in that buffer. And the proof from here is that the klalot don't extend into atem nitzavim. The klalot end in parshat Kitavo, and that's why he objects to the explanation of the Nisim Gon, that the reason we read Nitzavim is in order to get rid of all the Klalot before the end of the year. Alright, now, we're going to continue with the Mishnah. Makom Shna Gula Mud Begasa, place where they normally measure, right, in one way, you can't measure in another way. So now the Gemara goes, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin Shein Mukhakim B'Makom Shegodshim. How do you know that you can't smooth out the top in a place where they normally pile it up? And you can't pile it up in a place that you normally wipe it down. Right, so the Eifa Shlema, it's interesting here that the Rashbam, the Gemara seems to be running in a direction which is that you may not do such a thing. The Rashbam reads this as being that you may not do it because of the implications if you do it. Because if you do it, then other people will see and they will come to do it and then that'll end up with people cheating. Because over here, say, for instance, you slice it off the top. When a place where they pile it up, you cut it off at the top, and you charge them less. Right? Or the other way around, you pile it up in a place. He says, uminayin shemar arini mochek makom shegodshim ulefachodo min adamim. Again, or I take it, I pile it up, and I wipe it out. Arini godesh makom shemochekim, or I pile it up when they don't usually do it, osiflo domim, and he'll pay more. Shein shomimla, we don't listen to him. Tamalai, ifa shlema vitzedek yelecha. So here it adds the word vitzedek. So the way the Rashbam reads it in these cases is, I'll read it to you, that says, the Rashbam is on the wide lines, the end of the wide lines at the top. So the second last one in the middle. It says, "Shetzrich sheifa shlemash levi dei ramot. Timso kein shemer yiru otom acherim." Other people will see you. V'yomru kacha minhag. V'yomru alokeach. Right? V'yomru alokeach et amocher, amocher et alokeach. People come and learn from you to cheat. So the case has to be a case, he says, where the person's mochel, because there's no issue of gezel. Here we're not talking about a gezel problem, but nevertheless, you're not allowed to do it because what other people see. And then even when there's payment involved, he says, still, even if people are paying you extra or paying you less, because people will look and they won't know that there was money paid or less money paid, and they're going to come and copy what you do. So Rashi says the problem here is all about what other people see. Because we're obviously talking about a case where the buyer and seller know, either because one is mochel, or because they paid extra or less money. But nevertheless, it's a sur, eifa shlema, and eifa shlema v'tzedek, is that other people see that it's shlema, and other people see that it's tzedek, that it's exactly the same, so that they don't come to cheat, or they don't come to use or follow your example, but don't make the adjustment that you made. That's where the Rashbam learns it. Tosos seems to, over here, his little Tosos here seems to be indicating that it's a problem for the individual. He says, he can't say, in a place where there's no more Godesh, he says, I gave you only a machuk. Or, he can't change, you can't say, he can't change from the default, or make a claim that he changed from the default. He's not believed. He's not believed to say that what you gave me was different than what normally is given in this place. So that seems to refer more to the individuals themselves who are transacting rather than someone on the outside looking in and being a maritime. It's now the next one. How do I know that we don't measure exact? And the Mishnah says ayin ba'ayin, means that we measure exactly in a place machrin, a place where they give a little extra, I mean, a tefach, we saw in the Mishnah. And you can't give extra in a place where they normally give even. I'll do it exactly, and I'll give you the bonus tefach, and I'll take the price down. Or the other place, I'll give you extra in a place where they normally give at level. And you'll pay me more. We don't listen to Tamil even Shlema Bitzadek. So again, the difference. Rashbam will read here again that it's all an issue of Ma'as Ayin. Even though in these cases you did something that was totally fine. Because either he was Mukhel, or he paid money to compensate for the differential. Despite the fact, you're not allowed to do this because what if other people will see, or other people will look, and they will learn the wrong thing from you. Whereas Tosfos, again, we'll have to explain it as an issue when you cannot claim that you did something different than the default. I mean, that if the default is this way, then you can't claim that you somehow gave him more, gave him less. And that's why the price is what it is. Amar Yehuda Misura. Lo yeh lecha bevetcha. Right? What is it? Now he's reading this, that the pasuk that we're reading about measurements. It's lo yeh lecha bevetcha. Right? Eifa bevetcha. So he's reading it, he's parsing the pasuk like this. Lo yeh lecha bevetcha. Why won't you have parnasa in your house? Because you have two measurements. I mean, that Kosh Baruch Hu will take away your parnasa because you are cheating other people. Why won't you have money in your wallet, in your pocket? Why won't you, again, parnasa? Because you have two different weights. I mean, that those that cheat, Kosh Baruch Hu will take away their parnasa. So, the reason that you don't have parnasa is because of the way that you acted. Aval, what should you do? Even Shlema Batzedek Yelecha. Eifa Shlema Batzedek Yelecha. Right, so Eben Shlema, I think you can parse it the same way. Is Eben Shlema Batzedek, then Yelecha. Right, Eifa Shlema Batzedek Yelecha. Meaning that if you do it, if you have your measurements are equal and you are Nosiv and Noten Be'amuna, then Yelecha, then you will have in the house. And that's, I think, what the drasha of Avraham Yehuda is. Now, Taramban, Yelecha, or the extraneous, or the addition of Yelecha on the Pasuk, because it says Yelecha twice. So why does it say Yelecha twice? Melamed, Shema'amidim agardamim l'midot ve'in ma'amidim agardamim l'sha'arim. That tells you that you set up inspectors for measurements, but you don't set up inspectors for pricing, or for price gouging. The Beinisiya u'kimu agardamim ben l'midot ben l'sha'arim. The Nasi, the Beit HaNasi, set up both enforcement or inspectors, both for midot for measurements and inspectors for pricing. So I'm really Shmuel the Karna. Shmuel says the Karna poke tani lahu. Go out and teach them or go tell them. That we know from the price that we only put up inspectors when it comes to measurements. We don't put up inspectors when it comes to pricing. So he says, Nafak Doresh Lahu, he went out in Doresh, Karna. After Shmuel told us, went out of his Doresh, Mamidim Agardimin Ben Lemidot, Ben Lesharim. So but Shmuel told him one thing, and Karna ignores him. He goes out in Doresh, that what? That you put up inspectors both for measurements and for pricing. So Shmuel says to him, Amar Lei Mashmech, or Mashimcha, what's your name? Karna. He says, my name is Karna. So he says, typically Karna, Bene, you should have a horn that goes out between your eyes or out of your eye. Enough of Klekarna Beinin. That's exactly what happened. He had a horn out of his eye. It's a similar story. It's an interesting story in the Gemara in Shabbos. If you head with Karna, over there, it's Rav is coming to visit Eretz Yisrael. I'm coming to visit, and Shmuel and Karna are there. And Shmuel says there's an Adam Gadol coming, but he has a stomachache. And then Karna goes out and asks Rav a lot of questions. And then Shmuel later treats him. He's a doctor, Shmuel, and he treats Rav for his stomachache. And then Rav got upset at both of them. Rav got upset at Karna and said, Mashimcha, the same thing here as Karna. And he says that you should have a horn grow out between your eyes. Same curse, and it says that it grew out. So here, the Rashi mentions it inside. And he says, oh, maybe Hava Ha Gamarle, that both of them caused it to happen. All right, here is Shmuel. Then he curses Shmuel that he shouldn't have children, because he treated him for his stomachache, but he did it in a way that caused him to be in pain for that night. And then he cursed him, not knowing that Shmuel was really trying to help him. All right, so now, V'ihu k'man sabar. Karna, who went against Shmuel, who does he hold like? We have a braisa that supports the position of Shmuel. So who's Karna? Who are the Beit Nesi'ah? Who are they passing like? So it says, Ki'had amar Rami bar Chama, amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ma'amidin agardimin ben lamidot ben ashamim b'nei aramayim. So Rami Bachama's mitzvah says that you do put up inspectors both for midot and for pricing because of the cheaters. So what's interesting here is, what's the difference? Why does one believe that you do put up inspectors for pricing, and one believes that you don't put up inspectors for pricing? It's Rashbam, it's amazing Rashbam, only because it's, right, I mean, just today, that these weren't necessarily well-developed theories back then, but the Rashbam says over here, when it says, he says, Svarahu. Says it's logical that you don't have to put up inspectors for pricing. If a person decides to sell at higher prices, right? Someone who is more enterprising or needs money will sell it below. Meaning that if your pricing gets too high, you create an umbrella, and that umbrella somebody else will sell under your umbrella because they need more, they need to parnasa some more than you do, and they're willing to take a discount in order to have more business. So they'll bring the payouts, and all the buyers will go, it's low. And it will force the pricing down in the market. So basically, what the Rashbam is suggesting is that market-based pricing will adjust itself. I mean, the market will adjust itself to the proper pricing, because if you overcharge in the market, in the end, the market will correct, because other people will come in and compete with your pricing and bring it down to a market-based pricing. The same thing will be, I'm sure, if you charge too little, in the end, that you won't make any money, and you won't be able to sustain that type of pricing, and you'll have to raise your prices in the end to stay in business. So the idea that Ashram says is that pricing is self-correcting. So since pricing is self-correcting, you don't need inspectors to go in and ensure that pricing is that way. Right, so if you have, right, the problem is if you have cartels, you know, gouging, predatory pricing, unusual circumstances, or where you have cartels, right, that's what you need government intervention for, to ensure that those things don't happen. But he's saying that pure pricing in a free market should adjust itself. But then, what's the shita for the other side? So the shita for the other side is, and basically what you are suggesting now is the shita for the other side, which is that the Rashbam says, what's going to happen if we don't, why do the others suggest you need inspectors? So Rashbam just promoted this idea of free markets, that free markets are self-adjusting, why do you need an inspector? So the Rashbam says an amazing thing, he says, why? They wait, they're basically speculators, and what do? They wait till the product is sold out. They let the people who sell at the normal or the cheaper prices to sell out. Then they bring out their product and they say, okay, we're ready to sell, but we have a higher price. Basically what you were just suggesting, that someone's going to come and be, price gouging or speculate and say, oh wait, you know what, wait till this is out. All of a sudden there's a day when there's no milk in town. So now I'll bring out my milk and all of a sudden I'll be selling my milk into the higher prices. Now, that could be market pricing, but on the other hand, it could be the person is speculating into a market, knowing that the market's has limited supply, and then they're gonna price gouge afterwards. So that's why we need the price guides. That's one explanation.
Especially if people that
have
all the cheap milk.
Right, right. And then the other lashon that the Rashbam brings is, which he makes it basically a derivative of a measurement cheating. He says that they're going to charge a higher price and say that they added more into their midot. So that's basically a derivative of the measurements issue. They just say, oh yeah, I have bigger midot, or I put more into his bucket. And then that's why he's cheating. So the free market, because the Rashbam promotes this free market concept, he has to, what the Rama'ut has to be something that's outside of the guidelines of a free market. It's very, very interesting. I'm just, from an economic theory, it's very, very interesting what the Rashbam suggests over here, I mean, very early on. Concept of the free markets. Right, there's a pricing or price guides, which we're going to see tomorrow's daf, right, that when you have here, what you're suggesting here is that there has to be some sort of outside enforcement of pricing, right, that may only apply, it's not that which the Gemara in general is very pro-consumer, is very pro the consumer in general, but over here it might be limited to ochel nefesh, it might only be limited to basic necessities or core products, where the Gemara believes you have to do it, and we'll see this in tomorrow's daf, not that they believe that there should be general pricing controls across the board. Right? It's what we today have, and sometimes the government, where you have items like essentials, or basic necessities like milk, bread, eggs, where they control pricing so that it's the affordability for those that are below the poverty line are able to at least have those basic necessities. So maybe here also that these pricing controls, or these pricing enforcement is only with items that are ochel nefesh, not across the board. Everything has to be price controlled. All right. Tanu Rabbanan, hayah mivakesh mimenu litra, shokel litra. If he says to him, I want to buy from you a litra, you know, that wheat, then he has to give him, he has to weigh him a liter. If he asks for half, he's got to weigh him a half. If he asks for a quarter liter, he has to weigh him a litra. Mike Mashman, what does that teach us? Of course, if he asks you for that amount, you measure with that amount. I mean, what's the chiddush here? So Mike Mashman, at kenina matkalei ad hochi. So the Rashi learned one or two ways that the Rashi says that will be the lowest weight. A revi'a litra is going to be the lowest weight. Below that, we do not make measurements or weights below that number, and we start to use coins. We only use coins after that point in time. We don't make weights. Why? Because we're afraid that people are going to cheat. They're going to make lower weights and say that it's a quarter litra. Right? They'll make something that's really they'll make something that's a fifth of a litra, a sixth of a litra, and then they'll say that's, even though it's below the coin, they'll say that's a quarter litra because nobody thinks there's a weight below a quarter litra. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to have a weight below a quarter litra. That's the stopping point because below that people can cheat because it's too close. It's too hard to discern in the weights. The other possibility is that the Gemara is saying here is that you do a one, a half, a quarter, and you don't do a fifth, a sixth, or an eighth in between. Meaning that the gaps in measurements go by quarters. You go down at, you know, one, half, and a quarter so that you can measure in quarter, half, three quarters, and a whole. Not smaller increments are not considered to be good business because of the ability to cheat again with that, where you can, if you use those interim or markings, then you're going to end up cheating because people can pass them off as larger measurements. Right? Turnabanan. Hayam evakesh menu shlosha rivyei litra. Person asks for 3/4 of a liter. Alright, so now what do you do with 3/4 of a litra? Lo yamar lo shokor li shlosh rivyei litra achat achat. You can't say to him, give me quarter, quarter, quarter. He's buying 3/4. Don't say, measure him for me 3/4, a quarter, quarter, quarter. Ella, now the question is, what's the problem here? Or why is it bad to do a quarter, quarter, quarter? Ella shuk litra. He puts a litra weight on one side of the scale. Niach ria litra ima basar on the other side. And you put a quarter liter on the other side with the meat itself, or whatever you're measuring, to get the 3/4. So you do it in one measurement. You do one minus a quarter rather than 3 individual quarters. So why is that? What are we worried about over here? So a lot of Mishnayim say the problem is achra'ah. Is that before you said you're machriya tefach, but machriya tefach, if you do it 3 times, you're machriya tefach 3 times. Versus if you do it in one shot, you're machriya tefach only once. So here, if you do it once, that's what he's entitled to. If you do it 3 times, he's not entitled to. The Rashbam over here points out that should make a difference. Because being machriya tefach, if you think of a scale that's on a, meaning that when a scale is exactly even, it's 0. The scale is all the way down, it's 100%. So a scale, if you always use the same distance away, at like a tefach, when you're machriya, that will be a fixed percentage. Say, for instance, 25% of the whatever's being weighed on the scale. So that means that if you weigh it in one shot, or you weigh it in 3 shots, all you're doing is getting 25%. Getting 25% of one, or getting 25% of each quarter. Either way, you're going to end up with the same amount. So he says that does not cause a difference, because being machriya tefach is a percentage and not a difference. So he suggests, the Rashi suggests the problem is that you cannot be midayek. This being machriya tefach is a not exact science. It's something where you have to put on a little more. You'll never know. You can't see it's exactly off a tefach. So the person always puts on a more. Because if the mocher then is forced to do it 3 times, he's going to have to overcompensate 3 times. Versus if he only does it once, he only overcompensates once. So that's why he thinks. That's the Rashi thinks that it's not. If you were able to do it exactly, then it wouldn't be a problem because it'd be a fixed percentage and that'd be fine. That's the suggestion of the Rashbam.
The interesting thing is that two dapim ago, they were talking about cleaning off the weights and cleaning off the scale. I was wondering, why do you have to clean off the weights? Because food gets on. How's food getting on the weight on this side? The food on that side.
Right. Here's your answer. Right. Answer is right, that when you have an item that's not the weight, you have to do some sort of subtraction or addition. So you do it by adding weights. That's right. There's it. Torah Banan. Hayam evakesh mimenu 10 litrin. If you ask for him for 10 litrin, lo yamar lo shkod li achat achat. Don't say 1 by 1 liter. V'chriya elo shokelo kulam bevat achat. You do it in one shot. No ten achriya l'chadu kulam. So again, the same problem. Going to those Rishonim think the problem is that you have multiple achriyot. That would be the problem here. Going to Rashbam who thinks the problem is simply that you have to overcompensate each time. Then you're going to overcompensate 10 times instead of once. Right? Tanra banan. So this is about scales, hanging scales. Nefesh moznayim tuliya be'avir. So here we have a hanging scale. It hangs from the ceiling. So there's a string or a rope that comes down that has a hook at the end or some sort of fixture that allows you to hang the scale on it. So this unit, this fixture that comes down, has to be 3 tefachim away from the ceiling. And also has to set 3 tefachim above the ground. The kane is the pipe that goes across, the crossbar of the scale. And the matna or the mitna are the ropes or the chains that hold up the bowls that are at the end of the scale. So those have to be here 12 tefachim. 12 tefachim have to be 12 tefachim long. The problem is, what is this 12 tefachim really? So the Rashi reads it meaning 12 tefachim is this. The crossbar is 4 tefachim and the 2 strings on each side are 4 tefachim to get you a total of 12. I mean, between the kaneh and the mitna, you get the 12 tefachim, which means, right, that you have at the middle of the scale, you have 2 tefachim of a bar to each side, and then you have 4 tefachim hanging of a string on each side, or to get you to the total of 12 tefachim over here. The Rabbeinu Gershom disagrees and says, no, that the kaneh itself is 12 tefachim, and he even suggests that the strings are 12 tefachim, which would be, it seems to be ludicrous that it would be that. But there are those that say that the crossbar is 12 tefachim, and the strings are only 4 tefachim or so, or 3 tefachim or so. Now, why is this all important? Because, or what are we choshesh for? So there are those that say we're worried about when you're machriya, it's going to hit the ceiling or it's going to go down to the ground. In that if you don't give enough space to allow for the scales to move, if they're too close to the ceiling or too close to the floor, then the scale's not going to be able to do its job. So therefore, but the problem with that is, for instance, like the Rashbam, who suggests that's the problem, the Rashbam says that the kaneh is only 4 tefachim. So that means it has a kaneh of 2 tefachim on each side. Why do you have to be 3 tefachim away from the ceiling? Even if it goes all the way, the kaneh will never reach the ceiling because it's only 2 tefachim long. So it's interesting that the Rashbam suggests that's the problem and then that it's 3 tefachim away from the ceiling. That's why others disagree and say that it's already 12 tefachim long, the bar still. And then if you have 3 tefachim, it gives you enough room to allow for, you know, differential. You're not going to have 12 tefachim. It's not going to be that high off, but at least it gives you some balance so that you can work within, you need some sort of balance. I saw those that said also that the achreya here is the tefach achreya that you have to do, the bonus that you have to give them over here. That has to be also to give them space. Either way, it's just giving a suggestion. The Rabbeinu Chananel suggests that the problem here is that what you're going to do is if it's too close to the ground, the mocher will step on the scale, all right, and then release it. And when he releases it, you know, when you come into balance, you ever know on a scale, you go to the doctor's office, it kind of bounces back and forth. It looks like it's balancing out. So then people say it's balanced. So he says what's going to happen is the mocher will keep his foot on the scale because it's so close to the ground, and then he'll release it. At one point, then it'll bounce up, and it'll look like it's been evened out, and then he'll pull everything off quickly. So he says that it's an incentive to cheat if it's too close to the ground, because he can do something that will cause the scale to look like it's balancing instead of, right, actually being weighed to one side. All right, now, next. V'shel tzmarim, v'shel zagagim. When it comes to wool or glass, tluya bevir shnei tefachim. You go up, you have to be 2 tefachim away from the ceiling, and you'll be off the ground by 2 tefachim. A kaneh u'mitna shaloh tet tefachim is 9 tefachim. So again, the same machlokas will apply. Was the 9 is distributed between the kaneh and the mitna, or is it the whole kaneh is 9 tefachim, and the mitna is some derivative of that? B'shel chen v'ani, the storekeeper, b'shel balabayit, tluya b'avir tefach, has to be a tefach off the ceiling, u'gva min aretz tefach, and has to be off the ground by a tefach, v'kaneh u'mitna shela shisha tefachim, has to be 6 tefachim long. B'shel turtani are, which seems to be small jewelry, I mean like gold, silver, small items, that tluya b'avir shlosh etzbaot, has to be 3 etzbaot off the ground, u'gva min aretz shlosh etzbaot. Has to be off the ground 3 etzbaot. I don't know how what that extent is, how far it goes across, but obviously it's smaller than the others. So here you're dealing with the smaller the item, right? The smaller the scale. The bigger the item, the bigger the scale. So that's basically the idea over here, that the scale is scaled to the items that you are going to be measuring over here. Because So the person who weighs something bigger has a greater machriya, has more either, you know, I mean more differential back and forth, therefore needs more space to go back, or because of the exactitude of the scale. I mean that the wider the scale, the wider the scale, the more sensitive it will be. in the fulcrum, the more farther the fulcrum is apart, the more sensitive it'll be. But on the other hand, when you're dealing with very tiny atoms, right, that sensitivity is going to be too extreme. So you only do that with bigger items, that's okay with that sensitivity because you don't mind if it's off by a little. But when you're dealing with very, very small items, to have that type of sensitivity would be, right, too extreme in measurement because it would be to try to get it to balance. So therefore use a smaller scale, that would be easier to balance out. Those are the two possibilities. Now, the Gemara says, the Braisa listed what each of the scales is for except the first scale. The first scale just gave you that your scale is 3 tefachim off, and the ceiling 3 tefachim off the ground and 12 across. But never tells you what that scale is used for. So what is it used for? So Amar Rav Papa, we're talking about digurmi. Digurmi or the Mr. Sashas has a possibility that it was a which is Begarmine. So he says it must be Garmine must name Shogun and Barzel, Shakuk Vizukik Shukuka. It's rubbed down some sort of shaved metal or glass. That's what he suggests. The Rashi over here says it's Surfe de Khosh de Barzel. It's copper and iron workers, Nefachim, right? They are these some sort of workers or artisans or craftsmen that work with these that measure very large amounts. And therefore, in one shot, so therefore they need a big scale. So, Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish, which I think is interesting, his name, that Rav Mani Bar Patish, the son of Pai, is like the first hammer, right, Mr. Hammer. So, here's Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish, Kederech Shamru Le'inyan Yisuran, Kach Amru Le'inyan Tumatan. This is Braisa, they just talk about all these, what the proper way to do a scale also has implications for a Tumah. What does it mean as implications for Tumah? The Rashi says the implications for Tumah, that what's classified as a Kli. That a scale is only classified as a Kli if it's made in this proper manner. I mean, if it has the proper measurements, then it's a Kli and it can be Mekabel Tumah. Otherwise, it's not a Kli. Tosafot says here, we're talking about Yadot L'Tumah. Yadot L'Tumah means that what can bring Tumah to the other item? What is considered part of the scale that if you touch it, it will also bring Tumah? Or what's considered a subset? What's the Iker and what's the subset in order that you have Yadot L'Tumah? What says Maika Mashmalan? What is he teaching us over here, Rav Mani Bar Patish Tanina? We have an explicit Mishnah that says Chutam Oznaim Shel Chenvani. The string of the Chenvani, right, is Vishel Balei Batim Tefach. Is one tefach. I mean, the string, the item which we to hold up the scale is one tefach long. Kaneu Mitna Shelai Itzrichole. It says, well, that only tells you what the hanging piece is from the ceiling, how far away from the ceiling. It doesn't tell you how far or how big the kane and the ropes that hold up the scales are. The load's done. That's what Rav Mani Bar Patish comes to teach us, that just like by the scales, we have a fixed amount for the kane and the mitna, so to by tuma, that they'll be the same thing. Either, again, according to Rashbam, for being a kli for tuma, or according to Tosus, for being a dot tuma. Dora banan, inu si mishkalot, lo shel batz, velo shel eber, velo shel gisteron, velo shel sharmine matechot. You're not allowed to make weights out of tin, lead, gisteron is some sort of metal alloy, it's a mixture of metals, velo shel sharmine matechot, not any metals. You can make them out of glass or rock. That's what you can make your measurements out. So why? What's the problem? So the Rashi says the problem here is because they wear down. The items in the first part of the list wear down. Since they rub down, then the measurements are going to become unusable at a certain point in time. So they become unusable, so we're worried about the fact that if you use these types of measurements, they'll wear down and they won't be the proper measure anymore. Tosus rejects that, and he says, Rabbeinu Tam says, what are you talking about? That we have in other places that you're allowed to use these measurements. You have to keep them in a proper, in a casing, so they don't wear down, but as long as you put them in a casing, it's fine. And that's only true with, he says, that's only true with big weights, with smaller weights, you don't even have to cover them up. But otherwise, so what does he suggest over here? The problem over here is, Afka Mishkol Shekelim Basar V'Shuman. He says, the problem here is that you can't, these are the weights for meat, in fact, shaluchuchit midabig behem. So that, like he was suggesting before, how does the food gets on the weights? Umit yabesh, and it dries on it. V'lo mit am shchika. It's not because of being rubbed down here. So you have to use items that food and other things that you weigh get stuck to the weights. So you can't use those. You can only use items that don't have stuff that dries on them or sticks on them. So glass and rock. These items don't stick well to them, and therefore you can wash them off and it comes off easily, as opposed to metals, which either absorb or get covered by them, and they will not weigh properly after that time. The mechak is some sort of wand or rod that they use to wipe across the top, to wipe off the amount that's there. So for instance, I pack you a fixed quantity, and then there's the top. How do I smooth out the top? So you're not allowed to make that, whatever that wand is, that or rod that wipes off the top. You can't make it out of dilat, maybe shukal, because it's too light. You can't make it a metal because it's too heavy. So in the case where it's too light, it won't wipe up enough, and the mocher will be cheated. If it's too heavy, then the buyer will cheat and wipe off too much. But you have to make it out of a olive wood, v'shel egos, or walnuts, or nut wood, v'shel shikma, sycamore, v'shel, here we have ashbroa, or ashkroa, according to the Meshavet Hashas, which is boxwood. Right, so which is some sort of medium type of weight, which will be in between, which will be give a fair wiping off of the top of the weight or the measurement. Tanur Banan. Ein osim et ha-machak tzad echad av, v'tzad echad katzar. You can't make one side thick and one side thin. V'lo yimchok bevat achat. You can't do it in one shot. Shemochek bevat achat v'al ha-mocher. It's bad for the mocher. But your fellow kech is good for the buyer. You can't do it in series of wipes, because then shiralo kech is bad for the kech, but your fellow mocher is good for the buyer. So it suggests if you have a machak, this rod that is different measured, is thicker or thinner on one side, what's going to happen is either you are going to cheat, because you're going to wipe it with the thick side and then turn it over, it looks like you did it with the thin side. Or we're worried about cheaters who see you with this rod, will then make a rod that's thinner and they'll use a thinner rod. That's one possibility. Those are the two possibilities there. And the problem here by Bavat Achat is that if you do it in one shot, it becomes harder to wipe off the whole thing in one shot. That's bad for the mocher because it'll leave extra in there. If you do it in smaller increments, you're going to take too much out. So the suggestion is to do it in a step, like two steps. Do two wipes across and that'll be enough to get you a balance between the mocher and the lokeach. This is an amazing statement. Now, Valkulan Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is an amazing statement. Oyliim Omer, Oyliim Lo Omer. Says, woe is to me if I say something, and woe is to me if I don't say something. Im Omer, if I say something, Shema Yumadu Amremayim. If I say, don't, we can't have a rod that is thin on one side, thick on the other side. We can't have weights that are made out of metal. So, good. So you're setting out what the policy should be, what public policy should be. But on the other hand, cheaters know now what to use in order to cheat. Because you're telling them what's the problem. So they'll know how to use metal. They'll know to use a rod with the two sides on it. You're teaching them the methodologies for which they can cheat. If I don't say anything, if we don't say something, then the cheaters will say, listen, they don't really understand this, so we can do this and we're going to get away with it. So if we don't mention it, they're going to think that public policy doesn't even know how to address this issue. So the Gemara says now, it's amazing statement. Amra or lo amra? What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say in the end? Did he say something or not? Did he say that it's worth it? So Rav Shmuel Amar Yitzchak Amra. He did say in the end. Why? My high kro Amra. Because he says, Yisharim Darchei Hashem. The ways of Hashem are straight. Tzadikim Yelchubam. The tzadikim will do right. Pushim Yikashlubam. And those that cheat will cheat. Meaning that there is no, the obligation of tzadikim are to do what's right. They have to do what's proper in public policy. The same way that they're trying to do what's the Shem Shamayim, to do what's right. True that others will take that information or use that information to cheat, but nevertheless, that's not their issue. Their issue is to take care of the rove, to set out what's public policy for most people who will be okay with this, not to deal with the cheaters who will be kashlubam, who will fall in the same ways, who will trip up in the same ways that the tzaddikim are trying to rectify or are going in the Torah. All right, now, Tanur Rabbanan. Lo tasu avel b'mishpat b'midah mishkal misura. Right, so that you're not allowed to have improper weights. Midah. What does it mean? Have improper weights or measurements? Midah. Zumididat karka. This is talking about measuring land. Lo yimdod ached b'mot chama v'ached b'mot gshamim. Should measure for two parties, one in the winter, one in the summer. The Rashbam, and we saw this Rashbam, I think it was the Rashi, described this also in other places, that the string that you use for the measurement, say for instance a guy, we saw this in Bava Metzia, has a fixed length of string. In the summertime when it's very dry, the string is tighter. In the wintertime when it's very moist or it's humid out, the string tends to have more flexibility and expand. So if you measure for one of them in the winter, one in the summer, you're actually going to, with the same string, come out to two different measurements. And that would be unfair in the division of the partnership or the division of the Yerusha. So don't do that. You have to do it at the same time of year with the same string. The Rambeinu Chanal explains, which is still amazing, he says that during the summertime, the gland itself is dry and he condenses. Whereas in the It's wintertime, it's wet, and therefore the land expands, and that would be inappropriate. Now, I don't really understand there being a chananel, because even if the land expands, the physical beginning and end of the land don't change. So unless you suggest that the fence placement also, the fence moves with this expansion of the land, which is, I mean, if it's not well grounded or doesn't have a strong foundation, then maybe that would be the case. But it's still very, it's amazing to say that the actual physical land will expand and therefore you'll get more property. I mean, that the measurements, the demarcations remain the same even if the land is opening up or closing. Simply down like a rod, or you put like a little stake in the ground, that might move with the land, as opposed to when you have a fixed demarcation on the border, which won't move if it's well found, it has a good foundation. All right, the mishkal. What does it do if you give due proper by mishkal? Shelo yatmin mishklotav b'melach. You shouldn't place your weights in salt. Now the Rashbam claims that putting your weights in salt makes them heavier, and therefore they'll be heavy. I don't know if it's because the salt sticks to the weights, and salt is clear, so people won't see it, and it makes the weights heavier because of that. And that's the problem over here. Or because for some reason that salt affects the metal and makes it heavier. I don't understand that totally. The way Tosos disagrees and says that the melach actually makes the weights lighter because it's shu'ev. Melach in general, we know that from kashering. That metal, salt actually draws liquid out. So he says that when it comes to putting weights into salt, they would actually draw the liquid out, and that would cause the weights to actually be lighter and not heavier. So that's meant to mean that mishkalotav b'melach is that they won't make them lighter. I mean, that would be a problem for the buyer rather than the seller. It's a question of whose issue it is. Is it the buyer's problem or the seller's problem? Here he's storing the weights in salt, right? Yatmin mishkalotav b'melach. I thought there's a possibility, maybe along with the lines that you're saying, Alan, is that the salt is inside the weight. The Yatmin is not that he stores the weights in salt, but rather the salt is inside the weights, and therefore it absorbs that's what would be your suggestion. It absorbs the moisture from the air and causes them to be heavier, or the weight somehow is affected by the salt on the inside. But I don't know if that's pshat in what's being read here. Yatmin mishkolta means that he's placing it in salt. Alright, bim misura, shelo yartiach. This is very interesting. That you should not, there are two explanations. Yartiach, either boil, because liquids expand when you heat them, and therefore it would be inappropriate to boil the liquids, because then you're going to give them less, because you're boiling the liquid. Or the other problem, the possibility is like today, what we have with soda. When you pour soda in a quick way, there's foam that builds on top. So you shouldn't pour in a manner that allows the foam to build, because then you're giving the person less. The foam is not real, right, a measured amount, and therefore if you do that in a quick manner and you get this foam on top, or froth on top, that'll go give the buyer less. The mocher actually will benefit from that issue. Which is a measurement of 1/36 of a lug. Torah says, don't cheat. Lehin is 12 lug, Vechatzihin 6 lug, Ushlishitahin is 4 lug, or Vi'itahin is a 3 lug. The lug should probably be over here is a toman, and then a chatzi toman. Right? And a question of what the toman is. The toman is either a eighth of a kav or an eighth of a lug. So if you go with the Rashbam, who says it's an eighth of a kav, it's really a chatzi lug, right? So it'd be a half a lug, and then a chatzi toman would be probably a quarter of a lug, and then an uchla would be, which we're going to get to tomorrow's daf. We're going to go through all these measurements and explain what they are. But basically, the idea is that these are the measurements, and then if you're going to cheat by misura, which is 1/36, the Torah says no way. So even by these much larger measurements, that you can't do such a thing. So Amarav Yehuda, Amarav Asur Lo Adam. A person may not leave a weight that is no longer valid in his house. Even if it's used as a urinal, you can't do it. Even though a urinal is disgusting, nobody would use it as a weight. We're afraid that the cheaters will use it. They'll say it, they'll wash it out, and they'll use it as a weight. So we don't want that. So you can't leave any invalid weight. It has to be you have to drill a hole through it or do something that indicates that it's no longer usable and that people won't come to cheat with that type of weight. So Amar Pablo Amrai Le Ba'achet Lo Chatime. It's only a place where the inspectors don't sign on the weights, right? Aval Ba'achet Lo Chatime. If they sign on the weights, then it's not a problem because Ilo Chazi Chatima Lo Shakil. If he doesn't see the go to the gas pump and doesn't have the signature that the weights and measurements say that this is right, then they don't use it because it doesn't have the signed approval. There's no heksha on the weight. Bachelor to Khatime Nami. And even a place where they don't normally sign on the weights, Lamanello Delo Mahandase. Right, it's a case, right? Interesting, the word mandas here. Rather not that they're engineers, but rather that they are yotzei v'nichnas. They come in and out. Inspectors don't do surprise visits all the time. Because that's a deterrent for the person to bring it out, because he never knows when the inspectors are going to show up and catch him. But Mahanda say, if there are these people who come in and out, late lumba, then we don't worry about it, because the guy's too scared to use one of these cheating weights, because the cat, he'll get caught, because of the Yotzei V'Nichnas. The Lohi, the Gemara says in the end, that's not true at all. Zimna de Mikrei Ben Hashmashot to Mikrei V'Shakil. The problem is that sometimes the buyer will be under pressure. Now the question is that Ben Hashmashot, what's the, either the buyer will be under pressure, it's right before Ben Hashmashot, it's right before Shabbos, he'll be under pressure. And he won't look. He won't be careful to check the weights or check that they're signed because he's under pressure to get home for Shabbos, so he doesn't do all the checking, and the guy can bring out the cheating weight. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that if it's Ben Hashmashot, we know that the inspectors aren't going to show up. If they're Yotzei V'Nichnas, they're also going into Shabbos, and they're not going to be there on that day. And therefore, he knows he can cheat at that period of time because he's not afraid of someone popping in on him at that moment. So therefore, we don't allow it, even in cases where there is some sort of deterrent, like a inspection that has a signature or gives a sticker or a heksher, and also when there's there are Yotzei V'Nichnas, that the inspector's around all the time, in and out, it's also not enough of a deterrent, because we're worried about times when either of those items will not be enough to stop the cheater. But even if it's a urinal, but then he does have to make weights, which are avalosehu sa'a tarkav v'chatzi tarkav v'kav v'chetz v'karova v'toman v'chatzi toman v'uchla. So you do make weights that are, before we dealt with liquid weights, we went through a series of liquid weights by the log, and now we're going through a series of probably what are more dry weights over here, which are we can discuss. Go back now and ask what are the sizes of these measurements. So that's what we will deal with tomorrow. We'll stop over here.